भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text number 35, chapter 13, canto 11. Drishtim kataha patinivartya nirvritta trishnas tushning avain nija sukha anubhava niriha sandrishyate cha yadidam avastu surya chaktam brahmaheya na avet shmitir a nipata drishtim tatak panivat drishtim tatak paninivatya nivritta trishnas Drishtim tatapati nivartya nivritta trishnas Tushnim bhave nija sukhanam sukhano bhavo niriha Tushnim bhave nija sukhanam bhavo niriha Sandrishyate kvacha yashyatidam avastu buddhya Chaktam brahmayana bhavet smitya nipatat Chaktam brahmayana bhavet smitya nipatat Drishtim tatak pati nivartya nivritta trishnas Tushnim bhave nija sukhanu bhavo niriha Sandrishyate kvacha yadidam avastu buddhya Chaktam brahmayana bhavet smitira nipatat Drishtim tatak pati nivartya nivritta trishnas Tushnim bhave nija sukhanu bhavo niriha Sandrishyate kvacha yadidam avastu buddhya Chaktam brahmayana bhavet smitira nipatat Drishtim sight tataha from that illusion Bhattinivartya, pulling away, nivritta, ceased, Trishna, material hankering, tushnim, a silent, the vate, one should become, nija, one's own, of the soul, sukha, happiness, anubhavaha, perceiving, nirihaha, without material activities, sandrishyate, is observed, kvacha, sometimes, yadi, if, idam, this material world, avastu, of not being reality, buddhya, by the consciousness. Chaptam, given up. Pramaya, further illusion. No, not. Pavate, may become. Smitihi, remembrance. Anibhata, until giving up the material body. Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada. Having understood the temporary, illusory nature of material things, and thus having pulled one's vision away from illusion, one should remain without material desires. By experiencing the happiness of the soul, one should give up material speaking and activities. If sometimes one must observe the material world, one should remember that it is not ultimate reality, and therefore one has given it up. By such constant remembrance, up till the time of death, one will not again fall into illusion. Interesting. Purport by his Holiness Vidyananda Maharaj. So on. To maintain the material body, one cannot avoid eating and sleeping. In these and other ways, one must sometimes be forced to deal with the material world and the physical aspects of one's own body. At such times, one should remember that the material world is not actual reality, and that therefore one has given it up to become Krishna conscious. By such constant remembrance, by enjoying spiritual bliss within oneself, and by retiring from any material activities of the mind, speech or body, one will not fall into material illusion. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur comments as follows. The living entity, while living in the external energy of the Lord, should give up any anxiety for sense gratification and should not act for his personal enjoyment. Rather, one should search out spiritual bliss through devotional service to the Supreme Lord. By reviving one's relationship with Lord Krishna, one will understand that if one accepts any material object for one's personal enjoyment, attachment will inevitably develop, and thus one will be bewildered by illusion. By gradually developing one's spiritual body, one will no longer desire to enjoy anything within the material world. Nice verse, nice purport. Giving a very large, you could say, portion of advice on the practice of devotional service. It's akin to our practice also in every aspect, really. Maybe someone can just bring the third canto. I don't know what type of version. If you have this version up there on the rack, we'll need third canto part two. Is it there? Third canto part two. I don't have access to the books. Third canto part two. Hopefully it'll be there. So it's also nice here. We see the this verse. What's happening? Oh, there it is. Let's see. The one is studying, and look who's studying it. Wonderful. And they're just studying that section, in fact, of the Bhagavatam. You're just reading it, Peter. The very section, every part of the Bhagavatam is relevant. This part is particularly relevant. Just a couple of verses, two verses before what you were reading. Now we'll read one verse. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu. Saiva sadushu krito mokshadvaram apavitam. This is a very important verse. Some of you probably heard it, know it, whatever. a very important section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the instructions the Lord Kapila gave to his mother Devahuti, how to cut the knot of material attachment to this world. Similar to the instructions here by Hansa Avatar, how to cut this knot, how to get free of bondage in this material world. And the process is also given there all throughout the Bhagavatam. It's there everywhere. Yada nujasnai to karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidas tasya kona kuri katharatim. Siddha Goswami answers, this is the process. One can cut the knot of material illusion, the binding knot, reactionary knot of illusory activities, can be cut by the process of remembering. Simple process. Remembering the personality of Godhead. This is the process. Here is not so much of an indication of that. This is general detachment from the material world. But the emphasis in Bhagavatam is more on attaching ourselves to Krishna or remembering Krishna, which automatically incorporates detachment from the material world and not thinking of material objects. The more we can attach ourselves to the devotional service of Krishna and experience pleasure therein, Vishaya Vinivartante, Nirahavasya Dina, Vasavajam, Vasopyasya, Paramdrishtva Nivartate, the more we can experience the transcendental pleasure, that Paramdrishtva, the higher taste, by engaging in devotional service, then the interest in material sense enjoyment will naturally diminish. But just to try to avoid it on its own is very difficult. The two have to go together. We do have to make effort to avoid it because we are exposed to it in our course of our lives regularly, going to work or whatever. I've even seen in some grihastha's houses they have televisions. And it's a great temptation. Real great temptation just to sit in front of the television and just be poisoned, spiritually poisoned, by watching mundane nonsense. Very dangerous association. We get caught by these things, movies, or go on the internet, Facebook. Dangerous business. Dangerous. You end up, God knows what, doing what, I don't know, surfing and this and that, and wasting our time. And it affects our consciousness. And believe what's said here, one develops an attachment. Jayata Vishyam Pumsam Bishops in the Kadasa. No, what's that verse? Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 63, what is it? Sangat Sanjayati. There's it gone. My memory has slipped all the time. Bring the Bhagavad Gita, let's have a look. Bring this, read it. It's a very significant verse. Beginning stages of devotion do require a certain amount of knowledge and detachment. Although you can say, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga, Prayojita, Janajasa Varagam, Jnanam Chaya Dvaitakam, that by rendering devotional service to Krishna, one automatically develops causes knowledge and detachment from the world. Now, I did mention yesterday in the class, but obviously no one's in an authoritative position to do anything about it. I opened the book yesterday to read a verse and it wasn't there. This book is a 40 book. But don't worry, this one will be there, I'm sure. It's a 40 book. There are many, not let's say many, but there are pages missing from this book. The verse I wanted to read on yesterday was not in here. It's a 40 book. In terms of its printing, what's there? Missed out. So I would recommend that you try to find another copy which has all the verses in here and replace this one. You can do what you like, it doesn't really worry me, but it would be a good idea. It's good to remember these verses. We forget if we don't quote them, but after many years, a quarter of a few years. Here we go. Jayato Vishayan Pungsa Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodo Pajayate While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. So if you contemplate these things, that means just to expose yourself willingly to these things, willingly. The tendency is, it creates thought patterns in your mind, and after a while we start to become, just know the story of Ajamil. So he fell down from devotional service like this. He just happened to one day, right? Whatever, a test, we can call it the same thing with Bharat Maharaj, a test, came in contact with the objects of the senses, allowed his senses to dwell on it. Gradually his mind started to think of it, he became attached over a period of time, and he fell down. What happens? He develops attachment. From attachment, one becomes lusty, one wants it. And from lust, one becomes angry if you don't get it. Right? And then, when we become angry, we become deluded. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory, we forget, we can't reason. Reason is lost. And we can't even remember where we came to Krishna consciousness, practically. We're already sort of fed up with the material world sufficiently. And then we get caught and back we go again. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. One falls down again into the material whirlpool. You should read these verses regularly. The whole process is explained in the purports here by Prabhupada, the positive one, the previous verse, how we should engage our senses, the Vaimana Krishna Badara Vindayon, the Chamsiva Kunti Gunana Vanami. We should engage our senses, just like Ambarish Maharaj, 10% in devotional activities. And then if we don't, the other aspect is here. We allow our senses to dwell on material objects. And the difference is quite radical. It's quite the opposite, as we'll see from our verse in the Bhagavatam, third canto here. Prasanga madhuram pasham atmano kavayogadu. So eva sadushu kato moksha dwaram apavidam. Let's see these words as such important verses worth learning. What does prasangam mean? You mean, pardon?
Association.
It can mean association or becoming attached. In this case, the word means attachment. Ajaram means strong. Passion means becoming entangled. That's interesting. Atmana, of the soul, kavaya, learned man. Vidu, no, to either the same, sadushu, to the devotees. Krita, applied. Moksha dwaram, door of liberation. Apavitam, opened. You have moksha dwaram, singa dwaram. Dwara's gate, so dwaram moksha, moksha dwaram, the gate of liberation. And there are many verses like this. Even in the fifth canto also we see Lord Rishabdev explaining this very nicely. This is verse 4 Nasevam dwaram mahuravi mukte tamo dwaram yoshitam samni sangam. Mahatsevam dwaram, same principle. By rendering service, Mahatsevam, to the great devotees, Mahatsaram, Mahatsevam Dwaram, the gate, Uhuruvi Mukte, the liberation was opened. The gate to liberation is opened, freedom from birth and death. But Tamo Dwaram, Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam, by associating with materialistic objects or materialistic persons, Tamo Dwaram, the gate to hell is opened. So we have our choice. And it rests largely on association, not just physical, personal, in our mind also. It's up to it. We have, of course, you can say we're sometimes forced by circumstances. That sometimes happens. That's weakness of heart. But in principle, we should not endeavor. We should endeavor for good association, and we should endeavor, when it's realistically possible, to avoid more association with Maya, on the material energy that we need in the course of work and so on. naturally one has to come into contact with things which are not so Krishna conscious in their as I say, behavior or presentation. We should try to also keep this knowledge in mind and try to focus even that on Krishna. You know, with working in office, working as an IT specialist or something. We've got all this mundane stuff. But trying to remember how amazing Krishna is, different ways you can remember Krishna, to empower people to create such things, and so on and so forth. Just to remember that the ability to do this is all Krishna's grace. Just somehow or another try to be Krishna conscious. When everyone has a spare time, read something or chant or something. Don't waste time. Okay, I've got a break now, a bit of Sanskrit, let me read the newspaper. Relief. But that just like drugs or something, it just increases the attachment. It increases the illusion and doesn't actually solve the problem at all. It's like a relief of an itch. As a recent Lord Rishadeva also talks about the scratching the itch. It gives a little relief for a moment, but doesn't actually solve the problem. And the sex life or material sense gratification is like that. It's like itching it, but you don't. The problem still remains. The addiction or attachment to material still remains. So this verse, number 20 of this third chapter, the 25th chapter of the third canto, these verses are really important. Now we just read it again. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. The greatest entanglement, this attachment to the material. Now we can analyze our own lives. We're not going to necessarily do a self-analysis here now. But you can take that time to look into the degree of our attachment and if it's actually becoming purified by engaging that attachment in Krishna's service. We don't cut it off like that. We offer it to Krishna. These two paths are there. The recommended bhakti path is the general point is here that we should become detached, but the means of detachment may vary. And we should become attached to Krishna. So the means of detachment are varying according to the path one follows. So the path of bhakti, the means of detachment, is to engage those tendencies, those objects even, of sense gratification and the senses which contact the objects, which we become entangled by misuse of, to engage those things in relationship with Krishna under the proper direction. This is the practical process, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yukta varagya uchate, of engaging everything that can be engaged in the service of Krishna, and not to deny it. That actually belongs to Krishna, not us. Try to remember that your abilities and everything, even the ability to think and the mind itself in a sense, and the objects of the senses and everything around us belongs to Krishna. So the actual path of Krishna consciousness is to remember it all belongs to Krishna and should be used in Krishna's service, and to reject it is actually, in a sense, is against the principle of devotional service, because it's Krishna's and we're rejecting Krishna's. We're rejecting his property in the name of devotion. It doesn't work. If you like somebody and you reject their paraphernalia or their associates, etc., it will not go down very well. You know, you just throw their stuff in the bin, say it's a load of rubbish, but I love you. You know, your books are a load of rubbish, I'm throwing them away. You know, everything about what you do around here is all nonsense, is a load of rubbish, but I love you. It probably won't go down very well. So similarly, everything around us belongs to Krishna, including our talents and abilities. We should not discard them, but rather learn the secret of utilizing them in Krishna's service, and then one truly becomes fixed in devotional service. Not just the, as we heard yesterday, Kamendriyani Samyam Ya Astima Sansmanam Indriyati Bhagavatma Mityachara Suchite. Not the foolish type of renunciation, etc., but the tendency or the attraction for material things still remains. Unless we replace it with a genuine attraction towards devotional service to Krishna, the association of devotees and so on, then it's very hard to give up. Prasadam would be a good example, for instance. And even now we're looking, I was thinking this morning how beautiful the devis are this morning. And the dresses are so gorgeous. Whoever dressed the devis this morning is a very fortunate soul or souls. They're very, very beautiful. They attract the eyes. They attract our attention. We're not seeing the transcendental fullness of Krishna's presence, but even in the mundane plane we're attracted. This is the secret of devotional service, you know, in such a way that it attracts us, attracts the senses and mind. Very beautiful. Same with prasadam. Yes, if one's in different stages, you may take some kind of slightly different austerities or something in eating, for instance. But in principle, this one's a little advanced, may not be the best thing sometimes, we have no choice sometimes. In general, the prasadam should be so good. I think they're already going off the prasadam. I can't wait for it there. No time to waste. It is indeed Melbourne. I actually have been very unfortunate this time for various reasons. I've hardly tasted any of the Mahaprasad. I don't think I've had any since I've been here, any prasad whatsoever since I arrived. That's an unfortunate reason. But Melbourne has been, and hopefully still is. I can't speak from experience at the moment, but famous for its wonderful prasadam. Whether here in the temple or in the restaurants or wherever it may be. And this attracts people's senses. It's a wonderful way of capturing people, and they'll gradually become freed of the attraction to, you know, McDonald's beef burgers or whatever it is, McBurger, or KFC or whatever they're attracted to, or even ordinary food in a vegetarian restaurant, which is still karmic, still sinful. Or eating, you know, your favorite chocolate biscuits or something like that. You know. All these things are attachments to this world. We have to become attached to Krishna, not things of this world. Oh, they're vegetarian. Well, we don't want to become a vegetable or a vegetarian in our next lifetime. That's not our goal, just to be a pious vegetarian. We're supposed to be Krishnarians. Vegetarians or vegans is very vague. Of course, these things can be used in preaching, but we shouldn't become attached to them. They're nothing to do with Krishna consciousness at all. In reality, they're just tools which we may use in Krishna service so that they become, you know, beneficial Krishna, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to become Krishna conscious, and if it helps us, jolly well and good. So we shouldn't become attached just because something is vegetarian. We should become attached to that which Krishna likes, which pleases Krishna. That's what we're here for, to develop this mood, what would please Krishna. So the balance has to be there. In preaching, sometimes we have to see like that, using common sense, if it helps to attract people to Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't become attached to the means as such, over-dependent on the means. But rather we should become attached to pleasing Krishna. That's the goal. And that we learn in the association of pure devotees. The same attachment. When that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. So attachment is fine. It's just how we channel it. The soul by nature is attached or seeking association. It's just a matter of direction. And Krishna consciousness means learning how to become attached to the right thing, which will actually deliver us from this material world. Becoming attached to service, devotional service, which we learn in the association of devotees. So we should be aspiring to associate with devotees in the sense of coming together and putting Krishna in the center and learning the process of becoming attached to Krishna. Kirtan, prasadam together, service together, showing respect to each other, encouraging each other. We all have, you could say, in one sense you could say we have our apparent faults, but that will come and go. But let us try to encourage that which is positive in devotees' efforts to connect with Krishna. Everyone has, you know, something very good which they can offer. Even sometimes it's maybe the location and the time, place, and circumstances for application may vary. You know, we're not impersonals, impersonalists. We have a little common sense intelligence, and you know, we're to encourage that. For instance, if somebody's got somewhat a proclivity for dancing for Krishna, but they dance in rather outrageous ways, if you can't guide them down, then maybe a better place would be to dance somewhere else other than in the temple room, for instance, or something like that, you know, if they're going to do it. The best thing is to guide them, guide it to a more pleasing format for Krishna. Or sometimes we're not ready for offering Krishna on the altar, prasadam, etc., but you can still offer at home, just like Prabhupada did in San Francisco, for instance, with the drunkards. He didn't say, come here and offer your liquor in front of the, you know, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. They had Jagannath Deities in front of Radha Balaba. Just come here, don't worry about it. Just do, this is your devotion. Just walk onto the altar with your dirty clothes and just put the bottle in front of Radha Balaba and say, here, drink this. No, he didn't encourage, but he did encourage any tendency there. For Krishna consciousness, he said, when you drink your liquor, just say, thank you, Krishna, for the taste in this liquor. Thank you, Krishna, for the taste in the liquor. Hare Krishna. And for them, that's a great devotional act, to see how everyone can be connected, even in their attachments to Krishna, somehow or another, because Krishna is the taste in liquor. He's the taste in everything, really, in one sense. We don't say, bring Krishna down to a bottle of liquor, in that sense. But nonetheless, that pleasing taste within that drink is because of Krishna's presence. He's given the senses and the objects and everything, and by his grace, it tastes pleasing to that person. Some sense, so they should thank Krishna for that pleasure. And this will gradually help elevate a person to Krishna consciousness. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditional life, and the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Just like your example Prabhupada would sometimes give of electricity. If you know the science of manipulating electricity, you can create opposites, is it not? Take, for instance, heat and cold. The same electricity, when manipulated differently, creates a completely different effect. It's electricity. We have consciousness. And depending on what the consciousness comes in contact with, just like air, the consciousness in Bhagavad Gita is like into air. When air passes over a bed of roses, nowadays it won't smell of anything. But previously it used to smell very beautiful. And a lot of the times roses have no smell nowadays. But this example is given. When the air passes over a bed of roses, it smells very beautiful. It takes on the aroma of the rose. Is that correct? And when it passes over a stool pit, it takes on the sweet aroma of stool. And you can smell it. Terrible smell sometimes. Dreadful. The air is the air. It just depends on the association which it comes in contact with. So our consciousness is like that. If we place it, if we like, attract our consciousness on material things, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to pick up those material things. The mind will become agitated and start filling up with material pictures and thoughts, and then eventually desires, lusting and so on will take place. And if we, with our consciousness, put our consciousness on Krishna, then naturally the heart will become cleansed. This is the Chaito-Dharpana Marjanam process, cleansing of the heart. It depends how much we expose ourselves to the sound of Krishna's name or devotional service, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, all these various and limbs of devotion, how much we're absorbed in them. And of course the mind's still going on its crazy path sometimes, even then. But it's a matter of, Prabhupada said, if we continue like that, the fan slowing down gradually. It will slow down. As long as we don't speed it up again by submitting ourselves to the mind's tendency to wander off somewhere into another world. And we also follow it off there and start serving it, meditating on it. But if we stick to the process and association with devotees, in due course of time, the process, if we practically apply it in the right way, then the fan will slow down. Attachment cannot be killed, it simply has to be transferred. Consciousness, attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation, freedom from material bondage, karma granta nibbana. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living being. A living entity by constitution has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. Yes, it's quite common, especially in the Western world. Also in India now, it's becoming more and more common. You see civilized Indian gentlemen and ladies, those who are more advanced in consciousness now, walking around in Bombay and Delhi and now even Calcutta and all the major cities, with beautiful little dogs on leads. And sometimes they even have these wonderful pooper scoopers, which they hold as they're going along with their little puppy, or whatever it is, their poodle, dog. Sometimes they even dress them up with nice uniforms and so many things, take them to the dog manicure center. They become quite attached, to the point that actually sometimes they're more attached to their animals than they are their own children, practically speaking, sometimes. It's amazing how attachment is so strong. And I see every time we go to town, we pass this place down the road there, there's large buildings, two of them, which are dedicated to dogs and maybe cats as well, I don't know. Dedicated. One of them, I think you can leave the dog there or something for a while, and the other one, everything you need for the pleasure of your dog is available. Of course, dogs have their part to play, but when one becomes overly attached, it's not really the purpose of human life. You're dog conscious. Unfortunately, I don't know where. Baba talked about this dog consciousness, being dog for so many times, become so attached. And then you can know so many examples of that. I heard that recently, was it in Melbourne, someone jumped off the pier to save their dog? Is that right? Somewhere just recently, someone told me that a dog, a little dog, a small dog or something, fell in the water off the pier. And it was rough, the water was rough, and the poor thing was losing it. And the owner jumped in the water to save it and drowned. So this is, you can take a dog, you can take anything, materially speaking, use it as an example. That, you know, we jump in after that, and we drown. Barak jumped in after the deer, as you know, because he was saved by spirits and mercy. But he also was jumping in for sense gratification, attachment to sex life and so on and so forth. So if we keep jumping for that, then we'll drown. Simple. We'll drown in the material ocean. So we have to be careful. A living entity, this indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our consciousness, or our attachment rather, for material things, perpetuates our conditional state, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? Who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. In India, some people think like that. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service, even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service. If one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhu eva samantavya. That's like another topic which would take a long discussion, what this means, that one is a sadhu, but he's not strictly following the rules and regulations. It can't be misused. This, that you know, just because we maybe, you know, then we claim that we're fixed in our faith in Krishna. I don't follow the rules and regulations, but I have unflinching faith in Krishna, therefore I'm qualified sadhu. This is not the case. And this refers to accidental or circumstantially unavoidable circumstances, or maybe a situation in the world where you cannot follow certain principles, etc. But your goal is the same. It's not your goal, you don't care about the principles. Or a situation would be where one becomes too much attached to the principles and actually blocks one's advancement or the advancement of others. In other words, the sadhu is not somebody who's a machine. He knows where to apply principles to the right effect, both in his own life and the life of others. So the principles themselves, the rules and regulations, are meant for that only purpose, one purpose, to serve Krishna. This is not, they're not meant as mean or ends in themselves. So the sadhu knows how to use them in a way that they will help others to advance in Krishna consciousness. Doesn't deny them in the name of, I don't need to do it. If it's possible, he follows and applies them in every circumstance if it's beneficial for others to come to Krishna consciousness. Like that. And sometimes if there's some seeming error in his behavior, it's due to, say, sometimes it's an accident. That means a circumstantial situation not contemplated, not welcomed, not desired, but somehow or another takes place. Sometimes in the beginning stages due to past conditioning, we become sometimes a little late, for instance, you know, you may have a little condition, little attachment to somebody, you find yourself in a position where that's there and your mind wanders for some time. You may even glance at it or whatever it may be, but you withdraw it back again. You bring it back to Krishna consciousness again. The same principle is confirmed here. Oh, and then Prabhupada quotes that first of Vishuddhate, Mahatsevam Dwaram Mahurvi Mukte. Rendering service to the materialist has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by such association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. So that's a difficult one. You've got family, social commitments, you've got work commitments, you've got daily chores to perform, which automatically bring us in contact with persons who have very little, if any, consciousness of Krishna and are generally absorbed in matter. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that challenge? Everyone has to face it. It's not just those who are working. All the time we face it. Even if you just sit here, so many people with different mentalities come here. So how do we face it? How do we deal with it? Do we kind of like close our eyes and kind of push them away or something, or just
don't talk to me, don't look at me, I don't want to see you, don't touch me, get out of here.
Is that how we do it? Someone's doing it out there, I can hear them. How do we deal with it? Some of you are working. How do you deal with it? Anybody here works in an office or factory or nightclub or casino or something? How do you deal with it? One of our daughters used to work in the casino. I don't know if he's an Indian man. He was an accountant. I don't know if he's still around. I haven't touched base for a long time. How do you deal with this? You don't? Come on, some of you are working. How do you help? How do you deal with that? Does it affect you? Are you working? Are you working? Are you working? Are you working? Thank God somebody's working around here. I wonder why you're all sitting here this morning, all lazy guys. You're off at work. You're a lazy bunch here today. Okay, where do you work? Don't tell me the temple. You work here at the temple?
No.
No, where do you work?
I work in
Belgrade. What type of work?
I'm a chemist.
You're a chemist? In a shop or a laboratory or what?
Yeah, shopping.
So you probably have to meet people who are not pure devotees, right? I mean, are you yourself chanting Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Okay. 16 months?
No.
Something. So maybe it not be a major issue. Sometimes you realize there is a you know, we have to deal with them. Have you got any experience? Has anyone got any experience of how they deal with? We have to associate. We have to come in contact with people in this world. You are college students? Students? Not students? You're on the dole? Student?
Yeah, I'm working as well.
Are you working as well? Okay, so you have to come in contact with it all the time. What, is there anything that helps you to, in this sense? Is there anything you could share with us? It is difficult, isn't it? It's something which, you know, I'm sure it's discussed amongst the working devotees, how to help each other to both perform your duty and to behave in such a way that we communicate with people. They're encouraged, and they have developed a good feeling towards Krishna consciousness. Anyone else has a... without ourselves becoming disturbed or sidetracked, Peter? Pardon?
To try to remain detached.
Detached, yeah.
And also friendly to them as well.
Yeah.
Like, but not taking their friendship, not taking their association.
This is something Prabhupada would say. We have to try to always see how we can give them Krishna consciousness. You may not be able to directly do it, but you can do it in other ways. By your behavior, by your kindness towards them, especially by behavior. And sometimes more direct can be there also, but always thinking how to well wish, being a well wisher of everybody, but whoever you're with, how to help that person. Some devotees have become quite expert in this area of bringing or inspiring others to become attracted towards Krishna consciousness. Anyway, it's too big a discussion for the form we're in now, but it can be done in such a way that it actually is Krishna conscious, even though it is working, living in a situation which is in of itself, you could say, material association. But our business is in time, especially if you have the morning program, chanting nice japa, hearing Bhagavatam, in a mature way, then one can gradually see how this can be done with the knowledge. And secondly, one will not be so easily swept away by the waves of material attachment. If you have a good morning program, the deities chanting japa, and hearing like that, kirtan, whatever you can fit in before leaving for work, and have a good breakfast or something, take some good prasad with you. Don't allow your mind to wander and think, what shall I eat today? They do serve vegetarian food in the canteen. You know, your mind starts to drift into a not such a good environment like that. Anyway, that's the big topic, which really does require serious association and discussion, how to deal with it. Here we go. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord, because if one associates with the sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of the sadhu. If we want to associate with the sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material conditions. That's not the business of the sadhu. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with the sadhu. Kapila Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. This is the most, practically speaking, important part of our spiritual lives, is association with devotees. In that association we chant the holy names and hear about Krishna. So, okay, we'll finish there. Any questions? Yes. This question comes up quite often. How do we know that Krishna is pleased with our service? That's why we have Guru Shastra and Sadhu, some association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya, when he was initiated by Ishwara Puri, he became maddened. And chanting, he took the instruction of his spiritual master. If you're sincerely trying to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, he took that instruction and applied it as, and he became like a madman. Thought maybe something's wrong here. So he went to his spiritual master and asked him to qualify the situation. And Ishwara Puri confirmed that this is a symptom of love of God. Not that Lord Chaitanya didn't know it, but he's teaching us by example. If you're sincere, then for sure that will happen. So you'll go to a devotee for advice and am I doing the right thing? Of course, in most cases, at least if you're living in the temple, you're asked to do service by the representative of the spiritual master. So it's a question of one's attitude rather than the service itself. But if one's independent of something, then you may check. I'll give an example. One of God Brother Ishwara Prabhu, some of you know Ishwara and Yogoda. I was asked him the other day with a letter which I vaguely remembered Prabhupada sent to him back in 1971 or 2. So he gave me the letter the other day. And in that letter, it was he was going out. He lived alone. He lived with his wife in the Scottish Highlands. And he had a business, he was a plumber. And he would use his weekends to go out and distribute books, Prabhupada's books. He would get them from the temple in Edinburgh and go out and distribute them anywhere he could, some local show, whatever it may be. So he wrote to Prabhupada to explain that, but he didn't explain the whole thing. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, this is not good for you. You're a householder, you should not maintain yourself by selling books. That's what Prabhupada wrote back in essence. He said you should do it voluntarily as a householder. So your service should be voluntary. But actually that's what he was doing. But the message somewhere or another Prabhupada was giving an example. He was teaching in this way. Although Ishwara himself was not doing that. But for the sake of others, Prabhupada was giving this example. We shouldn't make a business of Krishna consciousness, in other words. We should offer. Service means offering. So he told him, and then he wrote back to Prabhupada explaining that he was actually buying the books from the temple, selling them and giving that money to the temple as well. So Prabhupada was very pleased with him and said, yes, please carry on working with the devotees there and continue to do sankirtan as long as you know it's practical. Because he had a good business, so he wasn't poor. Like that, he checked and then he was guided. So we take guidance, we don't just do whimsically, imitate, whatever it is. But we try to find out from our authorities what is the, is this a check, should be check and balance. You may have your counselors or your senior devotees that you take advice from. Take advice from them. And then Krishna will be pleased by your attitude. Then the attitude comes in. Not just being proud of doing things and for whatever reason, sometimes you may be doing seemingly well. It doesn't necessarily mean that that pleases Krishna. It's the attitude which counts. This humble attitude. So this mood should be there. And you can tell for sure if your relationship with devotees is improving and your spirit to serve the Vaishnavas is increasing, you're getting Krishna's mercy. But if you're starting to think critical towards devotees or you don't want to serve the devotees, you can rest assured you're losing. You're losing the thread. You're going in the wrong direction. A sign should be there that you're becoming released of attachment to the material, and especially critical mentality towards devotees. It may be there because of our past conditioning, but we should be humble to in the right association to discuss that and how to deal with that. It should be the other way. We become very enthusiastic about devotional service, that we should be very keen to encourage others to engage in devotional service, that we should be less inclined towards anything but devotional service, and we should be always in the mood of encouraging and honouring devotees and serving devotees like that. So these are some practical things. Just like you have examples like Jayananda, who was a simple man in one sense, but his service attitude was so wonderful that everybody was pleased with him. You know, and he was pleased with everyone. He never found fault in Adoshi Darshi. He never found fault in others. He was a very advanced soul. And so certainly his service was extremely pleasing. And the spiritual master confirms it, the devotees confirm it. And you'll feel it in the heart. There won't be this. I mean, you might feel my service, you'll feel it in different ways. Sometimes you'll feel my service is so insignificant, I'm so incompetent. But not that you don't carry on doing your service, you carry on with more humility. So you can't necessarily always use that as an example. Some people might misuse that type of mood. But in principle, you'll feel it in the heart also, the attitude. You can check it with the scriptures and the great devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us so much advice what happens in the path of devotion, the various emotions and attitudes and so on. But the best thing is to check it with other devotees who are authorities generally. Okay? Good point. Does anyone have any kind of fisherman's friends or anything like that? That we can do, no problems. If anyone wants to, that would be kind. Or something like that. So anything for a lump in the throat. I got a kind of a lump last night. This lump is there. I got cold last night. This kind of thing is like stuck in there. I've gargled and gargled with salt water. Still it's stuck there. If anyone has anything to, perhaps, you know, it's not at a very advanced stage, but it would be useful to keep the body going nicely. Well, that's very kind. Thank you very much. Okay, something which might ease loosen the grip there. I'm swallowing saliva, which is also a good thing. I'll just not mix with mucus. That's interesting. You've got the same one. One of our devotees is the supervisor for making these in Sydney. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. So have a good day, wherever it may take you. Try to remember these things of Srimad Bhagavatam and remember how we behave has a lot of effect on how it inspires others to be attracted to Krishna consciousness. And if we don't behave very nicely, it puts people off. Really puts them off. Behave like a gentleman, probably would say. They don't understand. You know, well, I'm doing devotional service. It doesn't matter if you know you're run over by a car in the middle of the street. I've got more important things to do. You know, be human, be conscious, and see what will help to encourage others. I always remember that time I did. Well, I wasn't here in Melbourne when the devotees caught that person who was in the fire. Right? They jumped out of the window. Right? There was a fire in Melbourne. The devotees were making their askar, and they had the big tarpaulin, the canopy, and the person was stuck there, no one around, no fire brigade. So the devotees, they used the canopy as a big, you know, sheet, and the person jumped down from the roof onto the canopy, and they were saved. So it was a big headline in the newspaper, very good publicity. People's opinion of Krishna consciousness was changed a lot by that. Little things like that, big things really. He gives us this opportunity every day to be tolerant and kind and humble and considerate and so on. He gives us these opportunities every day. Not to be heartless and callous and hard hearted and, you know, aggressive towards people. You're just a carny. They're just carnies, they're demons. They're all demons. It doesn't help us in our Krishna consciousness. Just covered over by ignorance, that's all. And we may also be Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.